Please turn to 1 John chapter 2, and for a little while this evening we want to study the information that's given to us in verses 3 through 6. So let's read those verses together. 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 3 and reading down through verse 6. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Remember, this is a letter written by the Apostle John. It's one of the general letters. It was written to Christians of all times. And to fully understand how these verses fit into the portion of John's letter that we're looking at the present time, we need to spend just a few moments in review of what we've already covered. Remember that John began his letter in chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, by showing that the Lord came in the flesh as the Son of God, and the reason he did so was that we might have fellowship with him and the Father. Now, John indicated in verse 4 that that's good news. He said he wrote this message so that our joy may be full. I find that very appealing. If something's going to produce joy, we ought to certainly be interested in it. And the Bible teaches that the Christian life is to be a life of joy. A lot of emphasis is placed on joy. So if John wrote so that our joy might be full, we need to pay close attention to what he wrote, and we need to understand it, and we need to apply it. According to verses 5 through 10 of chapter 1, we have certain responsibilities to fulfill so that we can have fellowship with God. Now, the Lord came in the flesh so that we might have fellowship with him and the Father, but in order to enjoy that fellowship, we have certain responsibilities to fulfill. In verses 5 through 7, we learn that we must walk in the light as the Lord is in the light. And then there's another responsibility given to us in verses 8, 9, and 10. That is, we must confess our sins. Now, if we fulfill those responsibilities, we have the assurance that God will grant forgiveness to us. Look at verse 7 again. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And then verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So John began by showing that Jesus came in the flesh as the Son of God so that we could have fellowship with him and the Father. But we have certain responsibilities to fulfill in order to enjoy that fellowship. We must walk in the light, and we must confess our sins. Then in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, the verses that we studied last week, we see that forgiveness is available, that we just talked about, because of the Lord. In verse 1 of chapter 2, Jesus is identified as our advocate with the Father. He is the one who pleads our cases before God. I don't know about you, but I find that to be very comforting, knowing that our Lord, who came in the flesh and suffered as a man, serves as our advocate. And notice that he is called Jesus Christ, the righteous. I cannot possibly imagine a greater advocate than Jesus. But in addition to being our advocate, verse 2 teaches us that he is the propitiation for our sins. Now remember, John says another reason that he's writing is so that we might not sin. But we do sin. And when we sin, all is not lost. Remember, we have responsibilities to fulfill in order to receive God's cleansing and God's forgiveness. But all of that is available because Jesus came. He is our advocate, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Now, as we study this book we call 1 John, as well as John's other writings and some other portions of the New Testament, we need to remember that there were some people who were known as the Gnostics who were having an evil influence upon God's people. They had some beliefs that were not based on Scripture, and they wanted to try to impose their beliefs on other people. One of their cardinal doctrines was that all flesh is evil. Okay, if they began with that premise, then what would they do with Jesus? Well, they came up with some false ideas concerning the Lord. There were some who said that he did not come in the flesh. Their reason was all flesh is evil, so the Lord couldn't come in the flesh. Others said, well, Jesus came in the flesh, but he wasn't the Son of God. The reason for that doctrine was that how could the Son of God possibly be flesh that is evil? So that doctrine that all flesh is evil influenced their views about the Lord. We have just talked at length about how Christ provides forgiveness. He came in the flesh as the Son of God so that we might have fellowship with him and the Father. We have some responsibilities to fulfill. And when we sin, although John wrote so that we might not sin, when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. But remember, we have some responsibilities to fulfill. Jesus gave his life and shed his blood so that we can have the forgiveness of sins. Well, these people also believed that it was possible to have fellowship with God and live any way that a person pleases. There are many people in the religious world who hold to that view. Well, it's not scriptural. And John dealt with that issue. In the verses that we read just a few moments ago from chapter 2, John dealt with some additional matters that have to do with having fellowship with the Lord. In verses 3 and 4, he showed that we can know that we know the Lord. And then in verses 5 and 6, he showed that we can know that we are in the Lord. Now, that's some very special knowledge. Talked about knowing two things. Knowing that we know the Lord and knowing that we are in the Lord. Well, people who were being influenced by these false teachers needed to listen to John and the other apostles. I always think about the way John began, that which we have seen, that which we have heard, that which we have handled. John said, I knew the Lord face to face. I touched him, I heard him, I saw him. I can tell you he came in the flesh. I can also tell you he's the Son of God. Now in his gospel, he recorded about 8 signs of our Lord for the purpose of providing evidence to lead us to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So John dealt with both sides of the issues in all of his writings, showing that Jesus came in the flesh and that he truly is the Son of God. Well, how can we know that we know the Lord? Let's look at verses 3 and 4 in a little bit more detail. If you look at verse 3, you'll see that we know that we know the Lord. Now, this is conditional. If we keep his commandments. Now, that's the condition for knowing that we know the Lord. Keeping God's commandments. When you see that word if, that indicates that this is conditional. Remember when Jesus gave his great commission in Matthew's account, he taught that his followers must put into practice that which he taught. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. and lo, I'm with you all the way even unto the end of the world. Jesus taught the apostles that when they preached and baptized people, they were then to teach those new converts to observe all things that Jesus had taught them. Now, what is that? That's obedience. That's putting into practice that which Jesus taught. Well, even in the Great Commission, Jesus emphasized the importance of obeying His will, obeying His commandments. But if you look carefully at several passages, you will see that the way we respond to the Lord's commands will reveal certain things. For one thing, our response to the Lord's commands shows whether we really love the Lord. In John 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now, love is the motivation for our obedience, or at least it should be. And we can tell if we really show our love to the Lord by the way that we respond to His commandments. A person who says that he loves the Lord but then turns a deaf ear to what the Lord says, well, that's not true love. The way we respond to the Lord's commands shows whether we really love Him. Furthermore, our response to the Lord's commands shows whether we are His true friends. Look at John 15 and verse 14. I always found that those two verses are easy to remember. It's John 14, 15 and John 15, 14. They go right along together. In chapter 15 and verse 14, Jesus said, "Ye are my friends if," notice the condition, "you do whatsoever I command you." So, in John 14 and verse 15, love is the basis for keeping the Lord's commands. If we really love Him, we'll do what He says. But also, when we do what the Lord commands, we show that we're His true friends. But as we look at the letter of James, James chapter 2, we see that the way we respond to the Lord's commands shows whether our faith is genuine. Let's look at James chapter 2 and start at verse 20. Now, in the latter part of this chapter, James was dealing with the relationship that exists between faith and works. And he states several times that faith without works is dead. He makes that point very plainly, and he states it several times. But one of the illustrations has to do with Abraham. James 2 and verse 20. "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." Here, James is dealing with obeying God's will. God told Abraham what to do, and he did it. No questions asked. I always remember years ago I heard Teresa's dad preaching on Abraham's trial when God told him to offer Isaac as a burnt offering. If you look at it carefully, you will see that Abraham got up early in the morning to take care of that. He didn't put it off. And Teresa's dad said, "You know, I believe that's one morning I would have slept in." Not Abraham. He got up early in the morning to take care of it. Is there any wonder why he's called the friend of God? Abraham shows us that our faith is genuine based on our response to obeying God's commands. Now remember the point that's being made back in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. We know that we know the Lord if we keep His commandments. Jesus taught the importance of obeying His commands when He gave the Great Commission. And of course, we demonstrate several things by the way that we respond to the Lord's will. But let's look at John's letter in a general way and consider the emphasis that he placed on obeying God's commands. 1 John 3, verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Here, John is dealing with God's response to our prayers. Well, one condition for acceptable prayer is that we do the Lord's will. Also, verse 24 of the same chapter. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Notice once again, keeping God's commandments results in a very special blessing, dwelling in God and having God dwell in us. And then chapter 5 and verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. So in this short letter, John made a number of references to the importance of obeying God's will. Why do you suppose he did that? I can't help but think that John was trying to counteract that influence of these people who were teaching Christians that they could live as they pleased and still have fellowship with God. John said it doesn't work that way. In order to know that we know God, we must keep His commandments. And throughout the letter, he mentioned over and over again the importance of obeying God's will. Well, let's go back to chapter 2 and verse 4. And notice how John approaches this in the negative sense. According to verse 4, someone who claims to know the Lord without keeping His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now that's pretty plain, isn't it? That's so plain, you'd have to have help to misunderstand it. Well, John doesn't beat around the bush. Now, remember, there were people influencing Christians in the first century who were saying, you can live as you please and be in fellowship with God. John says, no, we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. And if someone claims to know the Lord, but he doesn't do what the Lord commands, well, he's guilty of lying, and the truth just simply is not in him. Now, that particular problem is mentioned several times in the Bible. Let's look at Titus chapter 1 and read verse 16. Titus 1 and verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. The Apostle Paul was dealing with some people who lived in Crete, as he was writing to Titus concerning his ministry, about some people who claimed to know God, but their works showed otherwise. I sometimes am amazed when I can hear someone talk about all kinds of religious activities and so forth, and then say some of the most ungodly things that can possibly be said. I seem to recall a few passages that say that no corrupt communication is to come forth out of our mouths. Well, that's just one illustration. It's not possible to claim to know God in the true sense while being disobedient to His will. John says we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. So here, the people known as the Gnostics saying, you can live as you please and still have fellowship with God. John says it doesn't work that way. A person who claims to know God while being disobedient is guilty of lying. Actually, during the Lord's ministry, He dealt with some people on several occasions who had the same problem. In Matthew 15, Jesus dealt with the Jews known as the Pharisees. Now, they claimed to be strict followers of the law of Moses. They were ones dedicated to God's service. But Jesus pointed out that in a number of circumstances, they considered their own traditions to be more important than God's inspired commandments that He gave through Moses. In Matthew 15, Jesus pointed that out very clearly. And His conclusion was, in vain they do worship Me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So those people who claim to be God's separate ones, God's chosen people, Jesus showed them that they really were not, because they did not submit to God's will. They were the people who came up with that tradition that if they took a portion of their estate and said it was Corban, or a gift dedicated to God, and they claimed that that was what they were going to use to care for their parents when they were aged, then they were not bound to care for their parents. But Jesus said, the law says honor your father and your mother. But you see, they tried to skirt around that commandment with their tradition. And that's just one example of things that they did. Oh, they like to brag about tithing, fasting, giving alms. You see, those were things that would draw attention to themselves. But when it came to matters of judgment, mercy, and faith, well, they just weren't interested in those things. And Jesus said, you ought to have done those things rather than leave the other things undone. Well, that's just an illustration of how religious people can get caught up in what John was dealing with. Here were people who claim to know God, but the Lord pointed out that in their works, they showed otherwise. There's a very important principle that we need to keep in mind. It's given in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. This is a principle that we need to keep in mind at all times, but it will help us go in the right direction. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. It would help us to take a good long look at ourselves based on what's written in Scripture. Say, am I really doing the Lord's will? Well, John wrote at length about how we can know that we know the Lord. The condition is we must keep the Lord's commandments. Not the ones that we want to pick and choose, but all of them. But then John talked about something else in verses 5 and 6 of chapter 2 of his letter. He said we can know that we are in the Lord. I think it's interesting. He talked about two things we can know. We've already talked about one of them. We can know that we know the Lord. And then he said we can know that we are in the Lord. Well, we mention this from time to time, and it's important for us to remember this. The Bible teaches us that we're baptized into Christ. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, and Galatians 3, and verse 27. Those are the two verses in the New Testament that teach us how we get into Christ. And both of them teach that we're baptized into Christ. But after we get into the Lord, He wants us to abide in Him. And Jesus talked about that in John chapter 15. He talked about bearing fruit. And the illustration involved a grapevine. How can a branch from a grapevine produce any fruit if it doesn't abide in the vine? Well, it can't. And Jesus talked about that at length. But what he was really discussing was the importance of bearing fruit. He said, bearing fruit glorifies the Father. It identifies us as His true followers. So we know how we get into Christ. We're baptized into Him. But then the Lord wants us to abide in Him. And remember, John is talking about we can know that we are in the Lord. Well, how? We can know if we truly are abiding in the Lord by keeping His word. Let's read verse 5 again. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. I seem to recall that the condition for knowing that we know the Lord is keeping God's commandments. And now, knowing that we are in the Lord is based on the same thing, keeping the Lord's word. But there's another matter mentioned in verse 6. This has to do with abiding in the Lord. We must walk as Christ walked. I can remember when I was just a little kid, I went through a spell where I would walk in my daddy's footsteps. When I was real small, when we would go downtown, he'd always hold my hand. He was watching out for me. But then when I got just a little bit bigger, I wanted to walk in his footprints. Of course, his feet were larger than mine, and his stride was much longer than mine, so it was a little bit of a trial to keep up with him, but I went through a spell where I wanted to do that. I guess all little boys go through spells like that. But I wanted to walk where my daddy walked. That was just something that was appealing to me. Well, in order to know that we are in the Lord, we must walk as the Lord walked. Much like a little kid would want to walk in the footsteps of his dad, well, we need to walk as the Lord walked. In order to accomplish that, we need to know how the Lord walked, and we're able to read about His actions during His ministry in the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And let's look at several verses that show us how Jesus responded to the commands of His Father. Now, the reason we're doing that is to help us know how to walk. We're to walk as the Lord walked. How did He walk when it came to obeying God's commands? Well, let's look at John 4 and verse 34. John 4 and verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, My meat, or my food, that which sustains me, is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. From that statement, was the Lord devoted to doing the Father's will? Oh, He certainly was. And then look at John 8 and verse 29. John 8 and verse 29. And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Those two verses from the Gospel of John show us that Jesus was devoted to doing his Father's will. But let's notice how Jesus demonstrated that very point. And to see how the Lord demonstrated his submission to the Father's will, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and read a few verses starting at verse 21. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. Now remember, John says, to know that we are in the Lord, we must keep his word, and we must walk as Christ walked. Now Peter is teaching us how to live. And as he does so, he holds up Christ as our example. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. This has to do with walking as Christ walked. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Jesus demonstrated how devoted he was to doing the Father's will. When I think about the Lord being reviled, I think about the occasion when he was on the cross and people came by and said some horrible things to him. But Jesus did not revile back. He trusted the well-keeping of himself to the Father. Well, Peter's showing us how Jesus walked. John shows us that in order to know that we're in the Lord, we must walk as the Lord walked. And I believe by combining those passages, we can understand exactly what the Lord wants us to do. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but it just seems to me that out in public, a lot of people are being very impatient these days. I've always noticed that to some extent, but it just seems to me like it's getting worse. I was in the drugstore for a few minutes this afternoon, and I had to wait in order to get a prescription filled. And while I was waiting, several people came up and they were so impatient. And not long ago, I got a takeout from somewhere. I can't remember where it was. And it took a little bit longer than usual for the food to be prepared. And when the lady brought it to me, she said, "I apologize for the delay." I said, "No problem." I said, "Thank you for your good service." You should have seen that lady's eyes. It was like, "What? This guy's not chewing me out? He's not blowing off at me and getting all impatient?" Well, that's just a crude illustration, but it shows that if we'll just maybe conduct ourselves like the Lord would, people will notice it. They also notice it if we don't. So we have to always be on our guard and remember that this is a responsibility that we have 24 hours a day. And sometimes it's a challenge. But John shows us how we can know that we know the Lord. He also showed how we can know that we are in the Lord. Both involve keeping the Lord's commands and walking as Christ walked. Well, I don't think that the doctrine of the Gnostics improved society at all. But Christianity sure does. And I like to reflect upon the fact that John devoted his life to spreading the cause of Christ, and he's still teaching us to this very day. I find it a great blessing to be able to study what John wrote, to try to put it in its proper context, make the proper application. And being able to sit at the feet of someone who saw Jesus, heard Jesus, and touched Jesus. That's a great blessing. We might ought to keep that in mind when we study the writings of old John. He's a great man. I look forward to seeing him one day.